I have hit record. Please give me your sound test, Joseph Neal.
Well, Jason Mock, I am, that is.
That was really good. Erudition. I probably pronounced that wrong. Joe, allow me to elucidate for you the topic that we will attempt to broach today. Tomes, y'all. Books. Clamped together stacks of papyrus etched in erstwhile ink and revealing for all to gobble scintillating screeds. Now, I didn't just write that. I made it up off the top of my head because you know why? I got book learning. I have vocabulary. I'm a smart motherfucker.
Words.
Oh shit, I hit the show outro. That's not the show intro. I hit the wrong button. I'm going to have to fade this out all by myself. All right, see if I can do this.
You got the skills.
Oh, look at that. How you doing, Joe? What do you know?
Just like that. I'm doing all right.
And then I bring it back up with the background music. That's way too loud. I back it back down again.
I like how Shag said it. Can you walk us through it?
I can. Joe, let's talk about some books. Now, just before the show started, you took well, I don't know if you want to actually
talk about it. Did was I did something what many people do when they read books.
Boom. You figured out what I was going to say. Yeah.
And that is take a shit, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I mean gentleman. I mean, I took a shit.
But you didn't have time to read because that was a – I mean, what would you have read in that short clip? Like a – I guess a tweet.
You could have read a bottle.
You could have read a tweet. That was a tweet shit. You took a tweet shit. We should measure all dumps by the kind of book or text you could read in the time it takes to do it. Like, you know.
That's somebody, funny because it was tweet – the timing was around tweet-ish. Like I could have read a tweet.
Yeah.
As I shot the turd out of my butt, quickly wiped my butt.
Yeah.
I'm going to say butt again.
Butt.
I like the word butt.
Butt.
But I'm telling you, I actually did read something while I was in there.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I looked to my left. There was a shampoo bottle, and I read one word, and it was methylchloroisothiazolinone.
Awesome for you for saying that word, dude, because that's what this is all about. You read, and your brain gets smarter with the wordages. Can you say that word again? I want to look it up. Methyl something?
It stuck in my brain as a turd came unstuck from my ass. It was methylchloroisothiazolinone.
Methyl. Oh, you know what? I typed methylchlo and it came right up.
And what is that an ingredient in?
It's in. It's referred to as MCI. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the shampoo show. It's a preservative with antibacterial and antifungal effects within the group of isothiazolinones. That sounds like a word I just made up. Isothiazolinones. That's the name of today's show. I'm writing it down. Isothiazolinones. I'm just going to – the rest of this podcast is me saying isothiazolinones. And Joe, you talk about books and then I'll say, yes, isothiazolinones. It'll become our dude. You know, remember on a podcast we were saying like you could say dude. Well, we're going to do – yeah, we're going to – isothiazolinones. And you're going to go, oh, isothiazolinones.
But we needed to complete this very terrible joke, which is what is that a common ingredient in? What product? Methylchloroisothiazolinone. Jason is sure to die alone.
What's it a common ingredient in?
What does that come in?
It comes in many water-based personal care products and cosmetics, according to Wikipedia. It's used in glue, detergent, paints, fuels, and other industrial processes.
I read it on a shampoo bottle. Does it come in shampoo?
It does. It comes in shampoo.
Very good.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had just enough time to read that one fucking word, and I came back.
And you came back. I think, yeah, like I was saying, we should measure shits by their read length impact. Like if you say, dude, I got to go take a shit. And people are like, what kind of shit? You're like, oh, tweet shit. And they're like, okay, cool, go. And if you're like War and Peace shit, you're like, oh, geez, all right, let me fire up the Xbox. You're going to be in there a while.
It was the best of times. It was the. Okay, gotta go.
Yeah, gotta go. Are you a like when you've, you know, been eating a lot of fried chicken, you know you're going to be in the bathroom for a while. Are you a big reader? Do you take a tome in there with you?
I don't read as I poop. Unless I'm reading the back of a shampoo bottle.
Okay. Because you're a fast shooter.
This is something actually I've brought up several times, not on the air, but with you, with my father, with people that know me and wish they didn't know me, which is
– my uncle, yeah.
Why does it take you so long? Why is everybody – taking 10, 15 minutes to take a shit. I know the answer, but the thing is, it's not because you're taking a shit. It's because, one, you're reading.
Yeah.
But more importantly, you're reading because when you go to take a shit, it is your time to take your sweet ass time.
Sweet ass time, no pun intended, yes.
It doesn't take very long to take a shit.
Nope.
Like, everybody is not some sort of diseased. And by the way, I say diseased because if you have like dysentery, you might have to sit on the pot for a while. Or some people are constipated, but not most people, most of the time. And so why are you sitting there for 15 minutes? Because you want to read a little bit. You want to take a break, especially in a social situation. I think people just go and have their me time.
Yep.
And a lot of that is reading books.
Absolutely.
And that's not just me trying to, like, adhere to our theme. It's funny, just the truth. Is this the shit episode or is this the books episode?
We should do a taking a crap episode. Our listener, Ian, can vouch for this. And I know some of our other listeners have had the experience of having small children. When you have a small child and there's a spouse in the house, you take really long shits. Because you're like, hey, I got to go poop. Because they can't say no. You're like, I'm going to go sit in front of the computer for 15 minutes. They're like, fuck that. No, come in here and take care of the kid. But if you say, I got to go take a crap, you know, they're like, well, okay. And you go in there with your smartphone and you're playing Angry Birds and reading War and Peace and stuff. You know what it's called?
The entirety of War and Peace.
The entirety. You know what we call that? And with no sense of irony, we call that farting around.
War and Peace of shit.
War and Peace of shit. We call that farting around.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
because you're in there and, okay, let's move on from the poop section of the show and move into books in general. Unless you want to keep talking about poop, I'm happy to do that.
Yes, let's move on. Let's our bowels move.
Let's move our bowels on. Yeah.
Or hey, regularly.
Have you – so do you want to talk today – do you want to talk about – my wife just texted me. Do you want to talk about like a particular book, books you've read, or do you want to talk about the joy of reading in general? I mean, where do you want to go? I think we'll descend into books in particular, but where do you want to start?
We've done one or two book episodes before, and I always have this kind of cowardly disclaimer, which is, you know, I've read quite a few books, but compared to someone like you or my friend Gus or our listener Ian, it's a little bit embarrassing. But we tend to then – you're very generous, and the books that I have read, you're willing to talk about those books.
Yeah.
So I feel like this time we should go into, you know, what are some of your favorite books, and why don't you make some recommendations to me?
Okay.
Maybe we'll go into – maybe that'll help us segue into, you know, maybe there's a book it'll like trigger something like, oh, shit, I read a book.
Sure,
that reminds me. Like, this is a good book. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Does that sound okay?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
What book comes to your mind? Like, what's a really fucking good book?
Or
an interesting book, a different book.
A different book. You put me on the spot. Well, right now I'm reading a book called McMafia. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was going to be a book that with each chapter is going to be a different mafia group. Like I was going to read about the five families and I was going to read about the Sicilian mafia and maybe the Jewish mafia and some mobs in Chicago. You know, turns out, no, this book is about the inexorable link between organized crime and major political entities in the world. Now, I haven't got to the United States chapter, but I've learned all about the Middle East, all about Soviet Russia and the states that, you know, came into came into being after the fall of communism. And it's not a book I normally would read, but it's been fascinating and really opened my eyes to a lot of things. I mean, I don't want to get too political here, but I'll tell you what. Every single time I came across something nefarious in the book, I would Google it, and a certain politician in America, his name would come up every time. So it's a real eye-opener. It's a book called McMafia. Here's the one caveat, though. It was written 10 years ago. So I don't know if it's completely out of date at this point.
Was the dude a politician at the time?
No. No, he was not.
Okay. So we don't have to say the name out loud. No, we don't say the name. Clearly it's Pee-wee Herman.
It's clearly Pee-wee Herman.
Anyway.
So I'm reading that book right now. And let's see. This year I haven't read – I read Comey's book. You know James Comey, the FBI director that Trump fired? I read that one. It's all right. I mean, it was basically his bio. So – boring. I mean, he got into the politics stuff sort of towards the end, but barely. I read a book called Behave, and this is by Robert Sapolsky. I've mentioned him before. Man is just such a great writer. If you like to read, so let's talk about reading just in general. If you like to read, if you enjoy sitting down, putting your eyes on a page, and becoming absorbed with a writer's ability to engage you, read books by Robert M. Sapolsky. They will be nonfiction books. They will be about human behavior, endocrinology, primates. And you're thinking, why would I read a book about that? It doesn't matter. The dude could write about paint drying and you will become immersed. He is such a good writer. Robert M. Sapolsky. I'm going to say it again. Robert M.
Every book that you brought up, I think, unless I missed something, they've all been nonfiction books. You seem to be... That's your wheelhouse right now, nonfiction.
Right
now,
now
that's not to say,
yeah,
yeah. But I know that. Okay, can you give us an update, because you wanted to read a book a week last year? It's now next year.
Yeah,
2017. You wanted to read a book a week. One of those books I wrote, I think.
That was last year. Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
So last year, 2017. Did you meet that goal?
Oh, yeah. Blew it out of the water.
So, okay, good for you. Well, let me ask you. You seem to be into nonfiction right now. And by the way, aside from your book, the last five books that I've read have been nonfiction.
Okay.
Too. So I guess we're kind of in the same thing here. Though yours has been my favorite book.
Oh, well, thank you.
It's tied with this other book that's rather popular. We'll go into that later. But
okay.
In 2017, if you were to break it out in percentages, you read a book a week, so that's around 52 books. I hope you made it to 52.
Yep.
What percentage of those were fiction versus nonfiction?
Oh, it's probably like 90%. I usually read fiction, and I usually read shitty fiction. And I know it's kind of a hypocritical thing for me to say shitty fiction, but I'm talking about, like, I'm trying to find my list of books from last year, but like, for example, this year I read the first book in Janet Ivanovich's series, the one that starts with One for the Money. Now, she's a fine writer, and the book was very enjoyable, so I shouldn't call it shitty, but it's not going to win any, like, it's not going to win the
No, but she's at, like, 19 now, because it's like One for the Money,
Two for the Show, Three for Your Mama, Four for Your Butthole.
I remember the one, by the time I heard of her, it was like 16 for the Boo Boo Boo, and they were about to make a movie out of it, and everybody was all about these books. So that's good. That's like she's like a Sherlock Holmes kind of comedic type of character, right?
Yeah. And they're fun. And what I'm trying to get at is that while I, you know, can brag that I read over 50 books a year, a lot of them are books like that. We're talking less than 200 pages. You get through them in a day. So it's not really like I can brag about this stuff. But
well, you had brought that up in an earlier book episode where you're like, look, yeah, I'll read a lot of books, but I make sure that, you know, some of them are real quick and this is a nonfiction. It's 150 pages. I don't even know if it's good, but boom, there's another fucking book. I got it. I got it.
Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not trying to brag in the least, and this is not a humble brag at all. Okay. I'm really not. I know it's going to come across that way. It's going to come across that way.
Let's hear what you're about to say.
It's going to come across that way, but I feel like there's absolutely nothing wrong with, and I admire a person's relaxation when they can just throw themselves in front of the TV and surf for an hour. right? Or sit in front of the internet and surf for an hour, right? There's nothing wrong with that. I feel like reading books like this is not different. You just sit down, you throw a book in your face, you read through it. It's like, you know, it's like
just, well, our friend Stephen King would say the same thing. Like, you know, have you ever read that book? God, I hope this isn't one of the – I was telling myself earlier, I'm like, don't talk about the same books. It's not like you've only read fucking five books. Think of another book, and you talk to Jason about a different book. Guess what? Here's one of the same books. I think we talked about this on the last episode.
Okay.
On Writing.
No, I have not read that.
By Stephen King. And he brings up just that. He's like, you know what I do? I just read. If I'm not writing, I'm reading all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't care about the quality of the book. And you, and he says this. This sticks in my mind. He goes, you may ask, what do I read? And the answer is, whatever I can get my fucking hands on.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a standard. By the time he's done with a book, he'll even say, like, he even realizes, he's like, some of these writers are not famous and I feel like they're better than me. Some of these writers are famous and clearly I'm better than them.
Yep.
And he even like does this meta thing where he's like, look, no matter what you think of me, I have sold a lot of books and I've written a lot of books, and quality is kind of an illusion. It's such a subjective thing. He kind of draws that out a little bit. And that blew my mind, and it almost gives writers an excuse to just love their own work and be a little bit less discerning about quality in general. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a way, he's right. Like, just in reality, that's true. Quality is a subjectively determined thing. And but I think there really is – there's a rubric there that means something. Like, you can be truly universally shitty. And you can be pretty widely, you know, lauded, and rightly so, as a good author. But then there's everything in between. Am I just rambling?
No. You're making sense. Here's the thing, and I just did the math. A quarter, 25% of the books I read last year were nonfiction.
Okay. Nonfiction.
Yeah.
But this year, it seems like you're on.
I'm on a little bit, yeah. Let me address your point, and we can go back to the fiction versus nonfiction thing, because I think it's a hugely relevant topic. I'm a book whore. I'll say that, and I respect whores, so I'm not denigrating myself. I like whores. I mean, I don't like them. I mean, okay. People who work in the sex industry are to be respected because they work really fucking hard, and don't get a lot of credit for that. So when I say I'm a book whore, what I mean to say is I am indiscriminate. A prostitute, by virtue of her business, must not judge that with which she interacts, and I don't either. If you hand me a book and say, hey, can you read this? I'll read it. My wife was listening to a book on tape, so I decided to read it so we have something to talk about. I did not like the book. I thought it was poorly written, but I read it anyway, and the fact that I read it gave it value. It's not that it had value before it came to me. The fact that I put my time into it gave it value. Now, there are definitely books I enjoyed a heck of a lot and that I would recommend to people. I might tell you they have more value, but that's only because I enjoyed them, right? I can tell you, for example, last year I read – let me see if I can find one of the books I read last year. I read a book called Cocaine Nights by J.G. Ballard, and it was fun. I liked it. And, Joe, if you read it, we could talk about it. So I would recommend that. What I would not or how about this? Norm MacDonald's biography. He wrote a book called Based on a True Story, one of the best books I've ever read in my life.
Ooh, I heard that was funny as shit, and I haven't read it yet, but that's
really
actually
good.
On my list.
Yeah.
I don't have a physical list. I don't even have a virtual list, but I do have a list in my head, kind of, and it's in there.
Well, we can talk about that, whether you should have a list or not. I also read a book called Hush, which is a book my mom read, and she said, here, read this if you want to, because she, like – my mom devours books the way I do. She goes to the used bookstore. She picks up 12 books. She comes home. She reads three of them. If she's in town visiting me, she leaves them behind. That book I would not recommend. But none of these don't have value. Like the worst book I've ever read is also the book that has gotten me the most likes when I reviewed it on Goodreads. Nevertheless, I read it, and therefore it has value. That's all I'm saying.
All right, let's hear it. What is that
book? I got to go find it. Because I can't remember. It's called The Seventh Victim or something like that. It is such a piece of shit. But I read it, so it's got value, right? And that's all I'm saying.
I see
is
what
like,
you're saying.
Yeah.
It's it gives value when you've read it from your own perspective. It doesn't necessarily assign value to other readers. It's just it's valuable to you whether or not you even enjoyed it. It automatically has some sort of value to you because you've kind of absorbed it. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm trying to strip away this idea that things, if somebody kills a guy and takes his wallet and then uses that money to pay back a debt to you, and you don't know you killed a guy to get it, and then you use that money to go buy something. Let's say you go buy a sandwich, you eat it, and you enjoy the sandwich. And the guy tells you later, oh yeah, I mugged a guy, I killed him, and that's the money you used to buy that sandwich. You might get queasy, but you can't erase the fact that you got nutrition from that sandwich, right? So even if a book is shitty, I guess what I'm saying is, if you finished it, it has value. The biggest insult I think you can pay to a writer or an author is to not finish the book. That to me is the same as if you were to say, have sex with someone and halfway through, before either of you've had an orgasm, you just get up and say, you know what, I think I'm done. You be you, I'm out. Later. That would be, if it happened to you, Joe, seriously, if somebody like halfway through sex said, not for me, later, wouldn't you just be emotionally devastated?
Well, that's disappointment. That doesn't necessarily take the value away from it. In fact, reading and sex and eating are alike in that you build, if you're a reader, and I am, not as voracious as you, I don't have the passion for it or the hunger for it that you do. But sex and reading and shit, what was the third one? God damn, my brain.
Eating. You said eating.
And yes, thank you. Eating, fucking reading. There's a certain amount of appetite that builds up. And then see, if you start having sex because you wanted to and it ends up being disappointing – that doesn't mean that some of your hunger has been quenched in a way. You might be disappointed. You want it to be a little bit better. Mm. Okay, that's fine. But it's not like it didn't do anything for you. And like what I'm saying is I'm being very generous. When you read something, anything, it's some sort of thirst is being quenched. And sex is the same way, and food is the same way. Where I'm like, I've been like this, where I'm like, you know, all I want is a fucking grilled cheese sandwich. And by the way, it's really hard to fuck up a grilled cheese sandwich. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to fuck up a blowjob, too.
Okay,
it's pretty easy to fuck up a book.
Yeah, that's true. All right.
That's a little bit different. But what I'm saying is, if you have the hunger to read, eat, or fuck, and then you engage in it, a little bit of that hunger is sated. A little bit. So that right there is value.
Okay.
That's value.
I don't disagree with you in principle, but I'm going to like suggest that in terms of my shitty analogy that, you know, stopping a book is like stopping sex.
What I said goes right along with that. Just because stopped it. Like if I had a shitty grilled cheese sandwich and I'm like, oh man, how did you fuck up this grilled cheese sandwich? And then I'm not even going to eat the rest of it. Well, guess what? I'm a little less hungry though.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I guess we can look at the elements that fuck things up. I mean, if we're going to get super philosophical, we say that which fucks up a grilled cheese sandwich would be something that makes you go, I'm not having a grilled cheese sandwich, right? Like if there's a piece of paper in there, or it tastes like, you know, a cockroach, or it tastes like, you know, like even if it were like, it's like this grilled cheese sandwich tastes like roast beef. I like roast beef, but that's not what I wanted. So I'm going to stop eating this, right? And I guess with sex, it's like, okay, I'm going to have sex with a hot chick. Wow. She keeps farting and quoting Trump. That's not what I wanted in a sex experience. So I'm going to stop. And a book could be like, okay, oh, this book is about – I tell you what, honestly, and I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for this. I couldn't finish David Foster Wallace's Infinite Jest because I thought it was going to be this brilliant, well-written, just deep – just I was looking forward to the language dancing in my head. Because for me, reading is all about the language. And I was reading it going, this is not what I hoped it was going to be. It could be my fault. I shouldn't have had unrealistic expectations.
I felt the same way about Catcher in the Rye.
Okay, fair enough, yeah.
there's a lot of fucking hype about that. And I was like, well, okay, this is him. No, fuck it. I did finish it, though, not because it was good. I really didn't feel like it was that good. I felt like it was rambling, pointless.
Yeah.
But I finished it because I wanted – check this out. This is just – I wanted to be able to say that I read the book.
I think that's a legitimate thing. Books are a part of our culture, and I think there's something – I read that book that my wife read only because we would have something to talk about. I think it's totally legitimate to say sit down and read a quote-unquote classic. Whether you like it or not isn't even the point. I mean,
no.
If you want like people to think you're awesome, then you have to read it and like it and come up with an awesome theory. Like, actually, when I think about it, the main character was a symbol for the way America has turned into a blah, 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 blah. I suck my own dick, you know? It's like, whatever. But if you just, you know, say, hey, it's on my resume, did it. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't think so. Because it's, like I said, it's part of our culture.
There's social value to it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what I thought you were talking about earlier was not necessarily social value. But when you read a book, there's something just within the process that automatically there is value to that experience. You've assigned value to it, whether you really like the book or not. And that's why I drew that analogy where it's like, look, some sex is disappointing. Some food is disappointing. Some books are disappointing. But these are things that we have genuine like hunger for. And look. A grilled cheese is made of cheese, butter, fucking bread.
Yeah.
In case – unless you didn't know, Jason. But then all books are made of some combination of the same fucking words. I mean some vocabularies of some authors are better than others or, you know, more broad than others.
Right.
More interesting than others. But really these are ingredients. And if you don't put the ingredients together well, if you don't cook it well – and look, what is sex? Well, it's dicks and butts and tits and, you know, mouths and whatever. If you don't put it together right, you might be disappointed.
Right.
Now I'm not done because here's a problem. There are some situations in all three of these areas where it's not just disappointing. It's fucking disgusting.
Yes.
And you can't even make it through the first bite.
Yes. And
when I say bite, I'm talking about the grilled cheese.
Okay.
Rotten cheese. Burnt bread,
right.
Fucked up burnt butter. Everything is terrible.
Yeah,
my cat's now rubbing on the microphone. But but let me tell you, you can get that. And I've read a couple of books, quote unquote, and these are from people that are unpublished. But I've actually read a couple of these from people that are published. I pulled the book. I went in to a Barnes and Noble. Pulled a book off of the shelf and started reading the book because, you know, you don't have to buy a book at Barnes & Noble. You can just read the whole fucking thing. You know what? Yeah, sit down, read the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Well, and I've done that before too, and so have a lot of bums. But anyway, I'm telling you, you can read the first page of a book and the gag reflex goes off.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you might be really, really horny and then – you start having sex with somebody and I don't know, give me what would turn you off right away where it's not just disappointing. Like there's no value. It actually takes the value away from it completely. You can't make it past the first page or the first pump or the first bite.
Oh, I guess all three can be covered by vomit. And I have an anecdote to tell about vomit. That's not through a book. Okay. So.
All right, where do we go from here?
Keep going with what you're saying. You're on a roll. Okay.
Well, I guess there's this. I have read books where I can't make it through the first fucking page.
Yeah.
I become angry, disgusted, you know, oh, God, fuck this. And then especially if it's been published, I'm like, what?
Who? Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody went against this vehemently. Like, this should not be. and there are grilled cheese sandwiches that, you know, it's not like there's a committee for – there's not editors for a grilled cheese sandwich.
No.
It's not that complicated. Books are more complicated than grilled cheese sandwiches, I grant.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
and so is sex, but I hear what you're saying, yeah. Or maybe not. Well, sorry. Let's not debate. Go on.
I'm just saying, there are things that can happen in the first moment of each of these and just throw you off. And to me, there's no value at all. I've taken a bite of grilled cheese that I made and I was astonished at myself because the cheese was rotten. Like it, and I'm not just talking about moldy cheese because you can get away with moldy cheese, especially if you're drunk. But I'm talking about stinky, fucked up cheese. And I burnt it. I came back to it and I'm like, this will be okay. It'll be okay. And it's burnt with rotten cheese. I take a bite of it and I'm like, oh, that's the most terrible fucking, oh my God, that's the most terrible thing. How did I fuck up this grilled cheese? Well, I submit to you, sir, that there are books that are that bad.
Absolutely.
That fucking bad.
Absolutely.
Some of them are published, sir. And yeah. There is sex that is that bad, even when you think it's going to be good.
Right.
Think
yes.
about that for a sec.
Even, yes. Well, I mean, absolutely. I think, honestly, for guys,
and you brought it,
that's a, that's a, for guys, that's an experience that happens way less often for women. I am not a woman. I don't know women, but I'm going to say that a lot of heterosexual women will tell you that, oh yeah, I have lots of sex that made me wish that men didn't exist and neither did vaginas in general, just because I was so ashamed of what I allowed to happen. No, let me take away the way shame. I am going into territory I do not want to go into and I have no authority on. My point is this. Joe, you're right.
Thank you. And this is very much – it's very not a fucking book episode so far.
Oh, kind
it's
of.
Just been,
we're talking about the value of books. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about this? Let's take a turn to the perfect grilled cheese.
Okay. Yeah. We'll go back to good books.
The unbelievably satisfying sexual experience – and thus, let us speak of just the quintessential, most satisfying reading experience.
Let's do that. So let's I'm on Goodreads right now. I'm looking at Goodreads. And just real quick, let me give a little plug for Goodreads. They didn't pay us to talk about this, but Goodreads for me is my book diary. Every time I read a book, I go to Goodreads, I give it a rating, and if I can, I write a little review. Most other reviews are just about me. They don't really serve any, the purpose of promoting the book. I could give you an example, but I won't bore you. The point is that for me, it's a way of keeping track. And I can see here the books that I've rated 5 out of 5 stars. Now, I won't read you the whole list. I can tell you this. There aren't a lot of them because in as much as, Joe, you will read the first page of a book and you're ready to barf. If it's terrible, for me, that happens a lot. I am really, really picky. Now, like I said, I'll read anything.
Yeah, but you'll read the whole fucking book.
No. I won't. If somebody said, hey, if you said to me, hey, read this book, or my wife said, or my wife's like, I'm listening to this book on tape, I will read it. That's the motivation. But if I'm wandering through Barnes & Noble and I pick up a book and I read the first page and it makes me want to vomit, I won't read it. And that's true for most books. I'm really picky. You've heard of incels, Joe? For incels?
Yeah, I have. Mm-hmm.
These douchebags who are like, sorry, that's, I shouldn't say douchebags because that's the wrong connotation. These idiots.
Douche buckets.
These idiots who are like women owe me sex. I think their number one problem is that they could get sex if they were to, you know, court women who were in their same league. But they have this grandiose idea that super duper hot women should have sex with them, which is stupid. And what I'm trying to tell you is when I read a book, I'm like an incel. I'm like, this should be way better than it is, but I'm just a jerk off, you know, middle class, middle aged, middle educated, middle income fuck job. I should be happy with the book I'm reading. I should be able to take a book like, you know, One for the Money and go, yeah, it's pretty good. I should do that, but I don't. I have aspirations. Anyway, that was a fucked up analogy. This is my point.
No, I'm following you.
Okay.
Continue.
Well, good for you that you're following me. Here's some of the books that I rated 5 stars out of 5, okay?
Okay.
All right? And I want you to chime in and say, oh, I read a book that I think was really great. And again, I'm not going to read all of them. There aren't a lot, but I'm not going to read all of them. The nonfiction book that tops that list is the one by Robert Sapolsky called Behave. I mentioned that before because the guy's a freaking brilliant writer. I love the works of Thomas Berger. Now, he passed away recently, but I think he's a very good author. I also like Jonathan Lethem. Latham, he's a really good book, and Jeff Nicholson. But Norm MacDonald's book, 5 stars out of 5. Let's see, The Sellout by Paul Beatty, which won the Booker Prize. Okay. Really, really good book. And I know you're not like, what are these books? Look them up later. Percival Everett is a truly...
Remember earlier I said I kind of want some... Look, these are your 5-star books?
Yeah.
Shit. Percival, I'm writing them down.
Okay, Percival Everett. Anything he writes is, especially his older stuff, is really good. Let's see. I'm scrolling through here. I really liked... No Country for Old Men, McCormick McCarthy. Now, I gave A Night Without Sunshine 5 stars, so if you want to go read that one, please do.
I read that
you
one.
You did. You read that one. Okay,
I gave
okay.
it 5 stars.
Okay, I appreciate
There's
it.
There's this other book called Still Life with Zombie.
Yeah.
Gave that 5 stars. It's fantastic.
So I tell you what, let's – I appreciate that. I think
same
that
author.
Also was worded.
That's the same
yeah.
author.
I won't belabor the point. I won't go on. Let me mention 2 more books. There's the list goes on, and if you want to send me a tweet or an email, do that. At Just Becousins is our tweet handle, and I'll give you more books. But Apathy, and Other Small Victories by Paul Neelan. If you can find a copy of this book, good on you, because the dude didn't write much, and it's really a fucking
and that's
awesome
hard
book
to find.
Yeah, and here's the thing: the guy. Like, you read a book and you go, fuck, I have to read everything this guy wrote. And then you look and he's like, didn't write anything else. And you're like, oh, I hate that. So, Apathy and Other Small Victories by Paul Neelan. But the one book I want to recommend, I think I did it on the last episode. Fuck it, I'm going to do it on this episode too. The yeah. one that everyone has to read. Everyone in the universe must read this book. Are you ready? It's called The Stench of Honolulu. By
yes.
Jack Handy. It is
Jack
the,
Handy, the fucking... You did
yeah,
this on,
and I'm doing it again because it's the best book
yeah.
ever written. Ever. Now, I majored in English. I read some really good books, and my 5-star books reflect that I'm well-read. So this is not some idle like, oh, the book was goofy, silly, fun. But it has so many layers. Did you ever read House of Leaves, Joe? I give that 5 stars too. Did you read House of Leaves?
Yeah, actually, I talked about that book. See, we're just doing the same episode.
Might as well,
again.
Yeah.
Wait, but did you read that after I had recommended it?
No, I read
you?
It. I read it years. I mean,
it's an experimental book. It's one of yeah. the craziest books I've ever read, and it's one of the scariest books.
Yeah, it's
I've
totally
ever read.
Frightening. Well,
it has you reading fucking. Did we talk about this?
We did. We did. Yeah. What if
right.
you've
but
read
but
it?
But it has you reading in the mirror and
at
wondering
points, yeah.
if what's in your periphery in
yeah.
the mirror is about to attack you, which really was effective. Like,
yeah,
that's
it's
a crazy way to write a book.
It's a book written by a guy who's talking about a paper written by a blind guy. About
yeah.
a
there's so
documentary.
Many layers.
Yeah.
It's like a documentary yeah. of a book about an experience from a dude that like you can't ever get to the bottom of it. And the
right.
scariest thing, and I remember immediately being freaked out because the thing was there was a closet in his house, and he had opened the closet door and realized that closet existed on a wall. That was the outside wall of his house.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
should not exist.
Yeah.
And he went out and looked at it and was like, okay, that's terrifying. But
yeah.
then by the time he is like spelunking into some void that is in that closet,
yeah.
that goes into apparently another dimension
or something.
That and by the way, that's just the narrative kind of scary part of the book. The
yeah.
the fact is, there's all this experimental meta shit that's going on in that book, and it took me forever to read that book.
It's a huge ass
book.
But
I didn't. It's really big, and it has you flip back into pages,
yeah,
and
it's
read
weird.
Things in the mirror, read things upside down. Have pages refer to other pages. It's the most experimental, weird book. But I found myself psychologically enwrapped and terrified by the entire experience. And
okay.
it took me probably 3 months to fucking read the book.
Let me tell you this. Take out the scary part. Turn scary into funny. The same level of depth without any of this weird printing bullshit. Stench of Honolulu A Tropical Jack Adventure by Jack Handy. You read it and you go,
it's that experimental and like weird.
No, it's not. It's not. It's just that level of like
depth.
Yeah, like, okay, let me just real quick. I want to tell you, I'll give you, I probably did this last time.
I'm sorry for finishing your sentence.
No, you're totally fine. Totally fine. There's a sentence in the book that goes, the sun was like a blazing ball of fire in the sky. I probably said this in the last episode we did books.
You did, but I want to hear it again. Fuck it.
The sun was like a blazing ball of fire in the sky. Do you know how, Joe?
Yes, I do get it. It almost seems too simple, but it's fucking not.
It's not. Just – so I think – okay, we're at minute 40, if you can believe it. We got a couple ads to do. I'll just say this about that book, and this will cover all books, I think, and then I want you to say your final piece. Okay. That kind of audacity / bravery / confidence / cocksuredness / arrogance is what I think good writers – accomplish when they write, and that's to me what makes a book good. When the writer said, when no matter how fucked up the dude was emotionally, or female, the dudette, no matter how fucked up they are,
who Jack Handy really is,
beg your pardon? Oh yeah, it's true. But no matter how fucked up they are emotionally, if the book comes across as just like, fuck you, I write books, fucker, that to me is like, oh, even if I don't like the book, I can respect it. And I've read books and I'm like, I didn't like this, but it's well written. And if I read a book where it's just apologetic from page one to the end, I'm like, you know what? You are you're a lazy lay. That's what you are. You're a piece of white bread and some fuck ass American cheese and some rancid butter. Whatever, you know? So now you say your final piece.
On that, that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard you say.
That's minute 41:30.
Thanks, man. No, but I'm on board with you that there's – I think that audacity is – and with full conviction. Like you can be audacious and be – there's something about that Jack Handy line. And by the way, that fits with even his Saturday Night Live shit. There's an audaciousness and a full conviction about these just like bold-faced – like obvious and yet ironic statements that he makes, and like the fact that he stretched that out into a novel and made that work. We've talked about this before. Like, how do you stretch an SNL, skit out into an entire movie? Well, maybe this is when it comes to SNL. Maybe this is the most audacious and I can't think of the word. We're recording live. I can't think of the word.
That's okay. It'll come back to you.
It's ambitious. It's fucking ambitious.
And fucking ambitious. Yeah. It is ambitious.
So anyway, we've talked about all this before. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the second version of the first book episode.
I think it's totally legitimate. Yeah.
I think so, too. You know what we need? We need Ian to listen to this and take our recommendations seriously, and if we didn't repeat them, then perhaps maybe he would never read these books. And we need him to read these books. Ian, read that fucking book.
Read that book.
Bitch.
Hey, you know what I would like to hear? I'd like to see. I know that we have a lot of readers. We have a lot of listeners who are big-time readers.
A lot of readers here.
We have a lot of readers.
Listen, reader. Ian.
If Ian and Gus and other people who we know are big time readers want to record themselves saying something like 2-3 minutes saying something about something, I'll put it out there. I will put it like as a JBC extra. You and I can like put some words around saying, hey everybody, this is our friend Gus, who is an awesome reader, talking about his favorite book, Pie in the Sky by Appleman McFeckin, you know, or whatever. I'm happy with that, because I think that books to me, and then I'll shut up, books to me are no different than fucking or food. Honestly, if I didn't have those three things, I would not be alive. So, boom, there you go. I think your analogy was 100% awesome.
Well, I'm gonna bring it all the way back around. Like, this isn't a hunger relief type of thing, but It's something you need to do every once in a while, and that's taking a shit. And that's how we started the episode.
Well, there are some philosophers said the basic pleasures are fucking, eating, shitting, and sleeping. I think those are the four. There might be another one. I'm going to add reading that list.
Yeah, maybe we'll do a sleeping episode at some point. And by the way, when I read, I end up sleeping every time.
Yeah, well, you know.
And that doesn't mean
– even when you're on the commode?
Look, if I just read one word that is methylchloroisothiazolinone, I'm not going to fall asleep. This is a brief experience, but if I'm going to read a few paragraphs, I might actually go to sleep. In fact, most of the time I will, which is why you read one book a week and I read one book every 3 months.
You're a busy man.
I read, I go to sleep, motherfucker.
There's nothing wrong with that. And I think maybe it's because – or rather – what you may find, Joe, is that words like isothiazolinone keep you awake, and words like, you know, I don't know, what word in a shitty book, like fart? I've had too much to drink. Here, we're at minute 45. Let's do our ads. Do you want to go first? You want me to go first? Who went first last time?
Okay, I'm going to ask. Who went first last time?
I don't remember.
Know. Do you remember?
I don't remember. Flip a coin?
All right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. Do you have a coin? Because I don't.
How about this? Do you have a book? Flip to a page.
Okay.
If it's the even page, it's you. Odd page, it's me.
Super embarrassing. There's no book. I'm mostly an e-book. I'll just open the e-book that I'm reading. Okay. Here we go. So would you say even me, odd is you?
That's right.
Okay. This is page 92.
That's you.
That's me? Okay. Here we go. Mm-hmm. So – Larco sent me a book that they have published. Oddly, they didn't tell me – well, they didn't send me the whole book. They just sent me the prologue. And they said, just read the prologue. They didn't tell me what the name of the book was.
Did you drop a log as you read the prologue?
This is a prologue. Prologue. Hey-o. Hey. Slow on the gun there. So I will read you this prologue.
I thought you were going to hit the crickets just for me, but
no.
Go ahead.
No. Yeah. So I'll read you this prologue. It's not the shortest goddamn thing. Jesus. How long is this? How many words is that? I don't know. I'll just read it. And, I'm drunk, so this may be weird, but here we go. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now shall I abuse a muse to amuse you, made of lasers, poet-tasting, and basting your imagination via electronic pagination, and in such elevation try to create tantric mind fascination. Not a moon, but a space station, festooned with clones acting the buffoon, and here and there Jedi ready to Deadeye study the steady scene swelling your bean like Jabba's belly. Right and ready, the warlike Anakin begins the end of his dark side journey to assume in the bloom of his late Vader face the port of Sidious. And at the back of his black boots, leashed in like womp rats laid flat with targeted blaster practice, should raided hydroform caves and raged lightsaber battles and TIE fighters spitting screaming loud rounds of laser beam fire crouch for employment. For your enjoyment, Jawas and sand people all, these e-ink scrawls crawling flat, unraised across screens, unpraised and unembossed, umpteen force ghosts choked perforce odious encroaching on this unworthy hive of villainy and scurvy to broach so great an appeal for your approbation. Can this tin can Millennium Falcon deliver for a premium the erstwhile Jedi from Tatooine to Alderaan? And will a Solo on the lam from shooting first at Greedo go toe-to-toe horizontally with help from his Wookiee and do it all for the nookie of a princess in distress in a white dress and Cinnabuns on her ears who fears for her rear and so automatically stashes plans into droids to avoid a Dark Lord stalking the halls of her captured Corvette to foment a war born from smugglers' cubbyholes that thus affright the atmosphere over Yavin 4? Oh, pardon. Like a tauntaun cardigan, marginal enlarging a little warmth for a frosty Luke bossed around by Hoth Wampa, this bespoke tome constructed of crooked figures tries to trigger and make bigger a book that looks in little place a million. Let this squadron colored vermilion battle blasted over said Yavin, who saw it all and survived the brawl, on the holograms inside your craniums work. Like quarks in titanium, dancing to construct gigantic larks, within the sparks of this e-reader marking a departure from your easy chair, hard Tarkin, for now confined here to opposing designs, armies closing and their high upreared and abutting fronts flying, careening with scuttling thrusts, the perilous, nefarious, and terrible galaxy parts as it must. We implore you, ignore our imperfections with your corrections resurrected from your own recollection of that insurrection, nor over-examine the damaging papilloma pattern on the back of man, and we innocence ask you to task your imagination with the formation of puissance. Think when we walk the walk and talk of those Y-wing hawks that you see them sprinting and respect their proud astromechs and nav pits squawking. For 'tis your thoughts we accost to cast lots and to juice up bots and accept the missed shots as you bedeck our stormtroopers, groups uncouth that you lose here and there, moving past time's record player grooves and smoothing the smear of many years into a few hundred pages. For the witch supply, admit me, Sage Yoda, little green guy, trainer of Jedi and want to die after giving Luke a try and deswampifying an X-Wing fighter once again to fly from Dagobah to Cloud City skies to this poor story. Though gory I make the glory of this prologue bogged down in the bantha meat's worth of words, clogging up your noggin, nevertheless, I request a blessing on this mess and suggest you read on, though it be a jarring chore apt to leave scars. I implore you, seek more, and by far, get to the core of these Star Wars. That was a mouthful. So apparently this book is...
Jason, hold on.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I love you, man. this is tough. I feel like all I can do is climb the fourth wall and peek over it.
Okay.
And look right at Ian and be like, did you hear that, motherfucker?
Yeah, these... Whoever wrote this...
I'm climbing over the fourth wall. I'm not breaking it.
He's climbing over
it. Climb over. I'm peeking over it.
Perched atop. Yeah. You're once more into the breach there. I hear you.
Well, and that being said, good job, Larko.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, whoever these...
Whoever did that. And what is this?
This is purely.
I'm a little bit like taken aback. That was a really impressive piece. Clearly, it's a Star Wars novel.
Yeah,
it encompasses a lot of the stories not only lately told but earlier told. It's you know what? Here it is. You deserve a whole lot of credit for just being able to read that from beginning to end.
Thank you.
That's quite a thing.
Yeah, it was long, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. And it would have been easier if you had had written it.
If I had, yes. It may have been a bit easier.
If you had written it.
Yes.
But I understand your skill level is not quite there. Your performance level is there.
Thank you. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
But the writers at Larko, and I'm starting to think that Clark Marketing Solutions are getting into that a little
bit. May have been, yeah.
They're a little bit more, I don't know, they have a little bit different style, but I was hearing it just a little bit in there.
A little bit, yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, a fucking A. That was really good.
Thank you. I'm not saying
that so Larko doesn't come and kneecap me in the middle of the night.
They wouldn't.
And by the way, that's a weird decision. Normally you would want to kneecap somebody while they were standing.
Yeah. Kneecapping you while you're asleep. Yeah. The email that they sent to me saying, here's what you want to read, was titled The Fifth Star Henry Slam Wars.
Wow.
So I guess what this is a retelling of the Star Wars story in the style of slam poetry based on the Shakespeare play Henry V. I mean, I guess. That's what I'm...
Okay. Well, let me give you some credit.
Okay.
I feel like if you had the talent to pull something together, like this is almost like a foreshadowing of something you might be able to pull off. Performance wise, you were able to do it. So, but I was like, also in my mind, I was like, I think Jason could be able to do this. No, but he's not quite there yet. Like, he's able to read it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I would have never been able to read that whole goddamn thing.
Oh, yes, you would have. Here's the thing. I want to move on. I want to move on to the other ad because I'm sure it's also going to be as poignant, if I might say that. The thing of it is that you and I both, well, let's just admit it. We are writers. We like to write. We enjoy the craft of putting words together to make fun sentences.
We don't write the shit in our own show.
But my point is that we do read books, and we read books that are like, oh, I could have written that. We read books like, I never would have written that because it's a piece of crap. But we also read things that are like, oh, I want to do that. And I think in order to read a book – seriously, I'm not being an idiot here when I say this to people who – anytime you ever read a book and go, oh my God, that was amazing. If you read that, trust me when I say to you, there's something in you that is also amazing. If you think a piece of literature is amazing, there's something in your soul that is amazing. I know that sounds super cheesy, but I believe it with all of my heart. And yes, I am bragging because I've seen a lot of things that I think are amazing, so I'm calling myself amazing. But the truth of the matter is, if you're a writer and you read something that you like, you're probably capable of doing some sliver of its brilliance, which is more than most people can do. That's all I'm saying.
Well, from that perspective, you've got a lot of potential, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. As a writer, yes. Yeah, if I could get a professional to read these things, maybe they would go better. But listen, let's move on. I know we have another ad, and you mentioned Clark Marketing Solutions. Is this a Clark Marketing ad by some chance?
Yes, apparently this next ad, and I'm going to read it myself. I'm looking at the copy.
Okay.
This was written by Clark Marketing Solutions, but it also I guess there were other writers that came in and kind of edited it and stuff because they didn't like Clark Marketing is really straightforward. They're like, you know, if it's a car ad, they'll be like, this car moves forward.
Right. Yeah. They tell it like it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So you'll hear a little bit of that in here. But apparently they brought some other writers in. I don't think this is all Clark, but let's see what we can do. I'm just going to read the copy. Are you a fan of science fiction novels, historical fiction novels, nonfiction science history novels? Do you like physical novels made from paper composed of actual organic matter processed from trees that grew in the physical dirt? Well, Barnes & Noble is the physical bookstore for you. For you to buy coffee at, that is. Unless, of course, you are sneaking your own coffee in. But please, please don't do that. Selling coffee is our only hope at this point. Anyway, Barnes & Noble is an actual geographical location where you can read all the latest releases and timeless classics in both hard copy and paperback. Notice I said read, not purchase. Come on down to one of our five remaining locations and feel free to read a book from our fantasy section and then take a nap there. Then take a shit in our bathroom. Then take a shit in our fantasy section. The fuck we care? Barnes & Noble. Oh, fuck.
You know what's so funny about that? I mean, besides the fact that it's just fucking hilarious, is that Larko told me, and I forgot to totally mention this. This was the prologue to the Star Wars thing I read. It was the prologue specifically to the e-reader version. It was not the prologue to the hard copy version. So it's like, it was a double fuck you to Barnes & Noble. Oh, that's good. I like that a lot.
Well, look, they sent me that. And it's weird. I'm looking at the copy, and at the end it just says, crying. I did my best there.
You know? No, you did. You did a really good job. You're a consummate actor.
You're good at reading. I'm trying to be good at reading the copy.
You emoted that perfectly. Yeah, I liked it a lot. It's true,
though. I
understand
where they're coming from. You know.
Yeah. No. I don't remember if we talked about it last time, and I didn't want to belabor the point this time. But the whole, you know, physical book versus e-reader thing. And yeah, dude, I feel for Barnes & Noble. It's like, please buy our coffee because that's all we got left. Yeah.
Yeah,
I just today there's apparently there's this new thing out for called Google Lens. Well, it's not new; it's been out for a while. But one of the many things you can do is like hold your phone up to a thing, like the camera, and look at it, and then it'll give you information for it. And like I go to bookstores and like take pictures of books because I'm gonna read them later, but I'm gonna read them online. And now I don't have to even do any work. I just Google Lens it and it like pops up and says, hey, you want to read this book online? I'm like, yeah, fuck Barnes & Noble. I'm reading it online. It's made it all the more easier. I don't know.
It's tough.
It's tough. It's a tough world. But what are you going to do? A Night Without Sunshine and Still Life with Zombie. And if I recall, oh, no. I read a vampire book last year that does have some hard copies out there. But for the most part, you have to read it online, right?
Well, if you're talking about a book, we were talking about it. It's Star of a Fever.
Right, yeah.
It was not sold at Barnes & Noble. It was not sold on Amazon.
No.
It was sold at a shitty band's show. So the only way you could...
A band show. Let's just leave out the opinions. A band show.
The only way you could get it, and there were stacks, by the way. Like, imagine this. Like, there's a guitar player, and there's a stack of 20 books, like two stacks of 10 books each. Mm-hmm. And the guitar player, if he plays well enough and if he sings well enough, at the end of the show, he'll be like, see what's stacked behind me? Would you like to buy this vampire book? And then people actually bought all the books.
That's awesome. But,
you know, but I read that book and it was good.
It was a really good book, right? I did. I rather enjoyed that book. There was a lot going on there. It was like a new take on how one becomes a vampire. I liked it a lot. My point is this, that it was in physical copy and A Night Without Sunshine. So Star of a Fever, physical, but if you want to read it now, like you're going to have to contact the author. I actually know who he is and probably can get you a copy, but Night Without Sunshine and Still Life of a Zombie, you can get it at Amazon. They're online only though.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, they're there.
So there you go. So we're done.
Actually, very soon, I think Star of a Fever is going to be on Amazon. But before that, you just needed to be in a crowd and interested and drunk enough to buy a fucking physical copy of the book in 2007.
Yeah.
So your time has passed until very, very soon, maybe. I don't know. I'm in contact with these people. I think that you're going to be able to read it online through Amazon very soon.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. I will definitely buy a copy even though I've already read it because that's how I roll. Joe, thanks for talking about books with me. And good night. J.T. Leroy.
Thank you, Wikipedia.